I'm grateful for the opportunity that I've had today to be with you. I sincerely appreciate the invitation to be here. I am grateful my mother could come. I appreciate your love and prayer. Thank you very much for this special day of fellowship. I'm speaking tonight on something very precious to me. I suppose I could give it many titles, but we'll stick with what the Scripture says. Our text is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Our subject is exactly what Paul says here. We preach not ourselves. We preach, not ourselves. Paul says, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And then reading through verse 7, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Of all the verses that I could share with anyone on any occasion, this passage would probably be one that I would choose over several others as a passage of testimony. I've often said the average preacher could never say what Paul says here because they would get choked on the words, we preach, not ourselves. I don't think the average preacher could honestly and sincerely mean that, because their speech betrays them. I do not believe the average preacher is preaching the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ as Paul preached him. And so if you do not preach him as Lord, then you are preaching yourself. Or you are preaching some other gospel than the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I grant you that in Sovereign Grace churches, we don't have favorite texts like the Campbellites do. We don't deal too much by way of exposition with Mark 16 and Acts 2 and Acts 22 concerning those baptism passages. I do believe those passages, and I do believe they're to be interpreted in the light of the whole Word of God and not pulled out of context. But we've got a lot of folks who leapfrog through the Bible and who pick out this and that, and they don't ever settle on any particular thing. But tonight we want to zero in on what the gospel really is, and how we know we're saved. I believe those are very important questions. I constantly ask myself, am I saved or am I deceived? And I constantly preach what the old writers would call searching messages, because I believe we must continually examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. And if we're not in the faith, Paul says, we're reprobate. So it never does us harm to look at foundation truths and biblical principles regarding the person and work of Christ. I mentioned some unusual book titles this morning. I'm not going to mention them again tonight, but I want to mention a book that I love the title of. Of all books, a man by the name of Griffith Thomas wrote a book that I don't think could ever be improved on as far as its title, and I was reading in it the other day, and I wish that we have more writers and more preachers with this concept. And here is the simple title, and I'm sure you will agree with it. He wrote a book entitled, Christianity is Christ. I like that, don't you? Christianity, now think about the definitions people would give of that. But he said, and he wrote a book on it, Christianity is Christ. I really like that title and know that it is scriptural. Now notice three things about 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5. First of all, we have self not preached. Secondly, we have a sovereign that is preached, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we have slaves presented for Jesus' sake. Self, sovereign, slaves, or servants. Now my question tonight is this. Why would anyone preach themselves? If you flip back over here with me to the 40th chapter of Isaiah, I often go to this passage to remind us all of what we are in the sight of a holy God. Isaiah chapter 40. He says in verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, just a drop in a bucket, the nation, and are counted as the what? Small dust of the balance. Not just dust, but small dust, weighed in scales. And behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And when you think about it, all the continents are islands. We're all islands on a vast sea. And he says in verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and going along with what I said this morning, and vanity. Now let's look at that just a little bit. He says a drop of a bucket in verse 15 and small dust and a very little thing. Then he says all the nations are as nothing and they are counted to him, wait a minute now, less. I'm not very good in mathematics, but I do know when you get to zero and when you go below zero, that's minus, right? Wait a minute. He says you're a zero, and then he says you're a minus. I tell you, the Word of God slays us, doesn't it? Not very good for our egos. You don't get egotistical and bigoted reading the Bible. If you do, you're certainly reading it wrong. He says you're a goose egg and less than a goose egg. And then he talks it off and says, you're vanity. Listen, the natural man is a zero in the sight of God and a minus zero. He's nothing. Why would a man preach himself when he's nothing? He's nothing. He's a worm of the dust. And then he goes on so far as to say in verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Have you ever just come across a grasshopper and just flipped it away or stepped on it? You thought nothing about it. Well, God says men are as grasshoppers. And then we have this great text in verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. And yet we hear constantly God being likened to the things of the earth. And God says you can't do it. Years ago they used to say God is like Ford. He's got a better idea. Or the hippie generation produced the saying, God is like Coca-Cola, or Christ is like Coke. He's the real thing. You know, that kind of stuff. The Bible says you're not to do that. You can't compare God with anything about man. Why? Because he's the creator. And he's above his creation. Read the next verse. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Do you know how many stars there are? No. Do you know their names? No. But God Almighty does. He made them. So therefore, he's greater than his creation, and his creation is not superior to him, but he is superior to the creation. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I don't just believe in it. I believe in the absolute 100% sovereignty of God, and man is a zero and less than a zero, and you might as well quit bragging and boasting about yourself because you're nothing. And yet we've got these preachers. They get up and they tell you where they went to school. I don't care whether they went to school or not, do you? I want to know if they've been to Calvary. I want to know if they've been born again. People ask me, say, where'd you go to school? I say, I didn't go. They say, you didn't go? No, I say, I didn't go. I'm still going. I go to the College of King Jesus. Amen? I mean, you don't even have to pay to go to that school. And you go in and out every day. I mean, you go to school every day. What do you mean you graduated, preacher? You don't ever graduate from the College of King Jesus. You know, there's certain preachers that think because they've been to college and Bible college and seminary and they've got degrees on their walls and they've been preaching for so many years, they think they know all about the Bible and don't even have to read anymore. You know, all they do is play golf and things like that. Why, my friend, this is a gold mine right here, and you never stop digging in it. You're seeking the treasures of God's Word continually. There's no such thing as graduating. And listen, here's another thing. Are you listening? There's no such thing as retirement either. You don't retire from preaching. God help us. You may wear out and burn out and can't go, but you don't retire. You know, you may quit your worldly job, but you don't ever quit preaching. You don't quit living for the Lord, do you? You don't know someone that's a Christian that stops being a Christian at a certain age, do you? And why do preachers get the idea they retire at a certain age? Is this chasing rabbits? It's all right. And another thing people say, I wish I was a full-time, you know, Christian or minister. Well, isn't that what it all is? Aren't we all full-time? Being a Christian's 24 hours a day job. That's full time, isn't it? There's never a time, never a place that you're not to be a Christian. And a person may not preach publicly, but he's still a full time minister if he's a child of God. We're all in the ministry. That's what Ephesians 4 says. So what am I saying? We're worms. We're dust. We're nothing. We're bigoted within ourselves. And Paul says we're not to preach ourselves. We're not to preach our denomination. That's another thing people ask. I don't know why people ask these things. I don't ever ask people these things. People all the time ask me, what kind of church you belong to? Then you tell them Baptist, and they say, what kind of Baptist? Boy, that is hard to answer. And I usually don't tell them anything. I say, I don't know what I am. I tell you what I think I am. I'm a biblicist. That just sounds better than Baptist. Isn't it? Isn't it better? I hope it is. Because if you tell people you're Baptist, did you know there's about 35 different kinds? What kind are you? I mean, I don't know, really. I mean, and that's nothing to brag about anyway. And then there's nothing to brag about. You know, I've been around people, they say, oh, we don't believe in denominations. And yet they talk about all the time, we're non-denominational. Well, that's just as bad as being denominational if you brag about being non-denominational. Hello? Anybody listening? What I'm saying is, what does it matter? God help us. What does it matter where a man's went to school? What does it matter how many degrees he's got or if he doesn't have any degrees? What does it matter about denominations or no denominations? What matters is, do you know the King? Do you love the Lord? And are you walking in the fear of God? That's what matters. People people want to know what church you belong to and what denomination you are and where did you go to school? Well, hogwash. You don't need to know. Wouldn't help you any to know. You know, I think people have got the idea that there's streets in heaven. Baptist Street, Methodist Street, Church of Christ Street, Pentecostal Street. Well, that's going to be a big one. Did you know there's worlds of Pentecostal people? And there's some God-fearing Pentecostal. But I mean, that's going to be a big, long street. You know, and everybody's going to live on a certain street named after the denomination they were in here in the world. But I got news for you. Somebody needs to read the Bible. The Bible says street. S-T-R-E-E-T. Doesn't say anything about streets, plural. It says street singular. We're all going to live on Main Street. That does away with the back street Christian and the front street Christian. It's all Main Street. If you're a child of God, you're the same in glory. Because you're bought with the blood and regenerated by the Spirit, and there are no big I's and little U's, and the Baptists on one street, and the Methodists on another, and the non-denominational crowd on the backside over here somewhere. We preach not ourselves, Paul said. We don't preach our religion. Paul had religion, he said he didn't preach it. Paul repented of his religion on the road to Damascus. You know what's the trouble with folks today? I'm talking about church people, it's their religion. They got too much religion. You know, these folks wouldn't miss church for anything. And they never read the Bible. These folks wouldn't miss a Sunday service for anything, and yet they do not have a heart love for Christ. He said he didn't preach himself. He didn't preach his denomination. He didn't preach his religion. He didn't preach Judaism. Boy, there's all kinds of isms, aren't there? We got an old preacher. He's dead now. But he used to travel over the South. Maybe some of you used to know him years ago. Old Brother Joe Parsons. Brother Joe had a famous saying, and I've often repeated it. He would often preach, and he would say, "I'll be glad when all the isms become wasms." I like that. Oh, aren't you glad someday there's not going to be any Arminianism or Calvinism? You know, we've got all these isms. Everything's an ism. We put an ism on everything, you know. Everything's an ism. Well, one day, thank God, they're going to be wasms. The Lord says, "Behold, I make all things new." Won't that be wonderful? When the Lord gives us a new heaven and a new earth, and he destroys all these isms, communism, socialism, religiousism, all these isms we've got are going to become wasms, and the Lord is going to himself be king in that day when he's alone exalted, according to Isaiah chapter 2. Why would we preach ourselves? You know, some of the bigotest, the most bigoted, hardest to get along with people in the world are religious people. If you cross them, I tell you, they'll pull the bullets out on you and shoot you. They'll bite your head off quicker than you can say boo. I've been around some of them. I mean, there's some religious people that are mean. But Christ says, "Come unto me, for I am meek and lowly." But you listen to a lot of preachers, and they're high and holy. And Jesus said, "I am meek and lowly." Somebody's wrong. And we've got people who preach themselves about their church. They say, "We're the only church." Boy, this is a good one. I hope nobody here says this. If you do, you're still wrong. This is a good one. I've been around folks. "We're the only church that preaches the truth." Well, good for you. Trouble is, you ain't everywhere in the world. How do you know what people are preaching? You ain't God. You know, I've been around people. "Boy, if it wasn't for us, the Lord, he'd be out of business." Well, you've got it backwards, son. You don't know anything except it be given you from above. And the Lord doesn't need you. You need him. Right? people say, oh, our church, we're the greatest church, we're the most spiritual church. If we weren't in existence, there wouldn't even be a church in the world. Boy, you talk about bigotry. Now, folks, if you don't know what bigotry is, you better go look up the word. You talk about bigotry, this country is eaten up with religious bigotry. We're right, everybody else is wrong. Don't come near me, I'm too holy to talk to you. Don't blow cigarette smoke in my face, I can't stand it. You know, that kind of attitude. And I don't know why anybody smokes. I'm not advocating cigarette smoking. But you know, it don't hurt me to have smoke blown in my face. I mean, it just makes me thank God that I don't have to smoke them. Amen? We preach not ourselves. Well, let's get off all that. What in the world do we preach then? You see, you can't just be negative. See, that's a negative. Some people say, oh, you're too negative. Well, Paul said we preach not. That's a negative. Right? He tells you what he didn't preach. Now, what does he preach? You see, you're going to have to be positive now. What in the world do you preach, Paul? Read it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. What a great statement, Paul. If there were a text to describe the essence and nature of the true Christian gospel, it is this text. Here is a man who had learning as no other man of his day had. He sat at the feet of the great Jewish scholar Gamaliel. He knew what the word of the Old Testament said, and he knew all the laws of Judaism. And yet he said, I do not preach what I know, I do not preach how I was raised, I do not preach what I have been taught, but I preach a person. I preach a person who has entered into human history, and he is different from any other person who has ever lived, and yea, he is the Lord. Ah, I like that. He says, I preach one who is a sovereign ruler. Ah, this is not a little hippie Jesus we're talking about here now. This is not a little TV Jesus of Nazareth that looks like he just crawled out of the bed somewhere. No, we're talking about one who was God before the world began. We're talking about a person who was born of a virgin. Well, how in the world could a man be born of a virgin? By the miracle of the Holy Ghost impregnating a woman's womb by the name of Mary. Do you believe in the virgin birth? The miracle of Christ coming into the world is not the birth, it's the conception. I hear people talking about, oh, the miracle of the virgin birth. Oh, no, the birth was normal. It was the conception that was the miracle. And the conception of Christ meant that he was not tainted with human sin. It meant that he could not sin, and it meant that his divine nature preserved his human soul under all temptation, and Christ is the Lord, Paul said. He's not going to be the Lord, he is the Lord. Ah, now here's where we part company with the religious world. Have you ever heard people say, oh, now, Jesus, when he comes back again, he's going to be the king. What Bible have people been reading? I'm here to tell you, he's always been king. He was king in the manger. Do you believe that? Well, the wise men, they came and they worshipped him as king. I mean, they presented gifts to him as king. That's what the Bible says. Where is he that is born king? You know what it says? And Christ was king when he lived. A king came to perform miracles. He raised the dead. Do you know any fake healers that can do that? Do you know any preachers that can unstop deaf ears? Oh, no, they don't. I said Christ was king when he lived. He walked on the water. He was king. And when he was there on the cross between two thieves, he was king on Calvary. That's what the thief said. The thief told the other thief, we're here justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds. We're being punished justly. This man hath done nothing amiss, or he hath never sinned.
And he says to King Jesus, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You don't talk like that unless you're recognizing that this person is a king. And Jesus said himself, strange, isn't it, how some people miss what the Bible says? If they quit reading Scofield and start reading the scriptures, they'd know. I can get by with that here, but I couldn't get by with that anywhere. The Lord Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Well, that's pretty plain. I mean, I don't have to have some theologian tell me what that means. That means exactly what it said. His kingdom is not of this world. What in the world are we trying to make it of this world for? Who is it that we preach, Paul? We preach Christ Jesus in his person and in his work as sovereign. He's on the throne tonight, thank God. He's out of the tomb. He's ascended to the Father's right hand. He lives and rules and reigns in heaven's glory, and he's already king of the whole world, and especially to his people in the church. He's head and ruler, and he's Lord, and we worship him as such tonight. We don't wait for him to come to be king. Sure, when he comes, he's going to be the king, but that's because he's already the king. He's been given that title. Christ rules tonight from his intercessory throne. He rules the world tonight as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No, he's not recognized. No. But he is nonetheless King. And when sinners come to Christ, they come to him in his total person. They do not receive just a Savior, but they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't go down the cafeteria line and say, well, I want justification, but I don't want sanctification. I want glorification, but I don't want to live right on the way to heaven. That's what people think, you know. I want to take Jesus as my Savior. One of these days, I'll make him Lord. No, friends, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when you're saved, you receive Christ Jesus as Lord. That's Colossians 2:6, in case you think I'm preaching heresy. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, or as Lord, so walk ye in him. How can you walk in him if you haven't received him as Lord? No, you don't have to be a theologian to bow to the Lordship of Christ, but I'll tell you what, that's the road to being a theologian. You don't come to Christ in ignorance, you come to Christ in light. That's what this text says. Verse 4 says that the God of this world, or the God of this age, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 6 says, for God, who commanded, notice that, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, what has he done? He hath shined in our hearts. Thank God he hath shined in our hearts. What did that happen? What did that do? How did this happen? To give the what? Light. Light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How is this experience? It's experience in the heart of an earthen vessel. That makes you know that this is not of man. Because Paul says this treasure of the light of the of God, it's in earthen vessels, and this proves that it's not of man, that the excellency of the power may be of God. And so we preach Christ Jesus as prophet, the teacher to his church, as priest, as the intercessor for his people. And we preach Christ as king, the ruler of his people. We preach Christ as mediator. He's the only daysman between a sinful soul and a holy God. He laid his hand on heaven and laid his other hand on earth and united man and God. He is the mediator. And listen, listen, dear friends. Oh, listen to the word of God. For there is one God. 1 Timothy 2:5. And one mediator between God and men, comma, the man, Christ Jesus. We don't preach popes. We don't preach fathers on the earth. We don't preach dictators. We don't preach intercessors among men. We preach one mediator, one daysman, one intercessor, one advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is
everything that we need for salvation. And old Simeon, when he picked up the baby in his arms there in the temple, he said, Lord, now I can die. He said, it's time to die because mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Why, what do you mean, Simeon? Yes, he had salvation in his arms, thank God. Baby Jesus was God's salvation according to Simeon. And in that person and in his work is man's salvation. It's not what you do for Christ, it's what Christ has done for you. It's not your doing and trusting and doing and going and giving and repenting and all of this. It's Christ and Him crucified that saves us. And we do repent. And we do trust Him because God gives us the grace to believe and repent. But we'll never believe and repent unless He grants us that. So Christ is who we preach. We preach a sovereign Lord. And yet the church today is hearing about a Jesus wringing His hands in the heavens. Wants to save everybody. We got a preacher here in the South. And he knows better. That's what's so tragic. He knows better. But I'm sure you've heard him on the radio if I called his name. But he's all the time talking about, oh God, he says. He says, save every soul nearest hell. And it's like, save the lost. Well, listen, you don't ever find anybody in the Bible praying that way. Are you listening? No. I'm not saying not pray for the unconverted. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying we don't twist God's arm to get Him to save people. You don't read that in the Bible. God is the one who initiated this thing. He's more concerned about people's salvation than you and I are. He sent His Son. And what we pray is, oh God, we thank Thee for sending Thy Son to save Thine elect. And we thank Thee that everyone who comes to Christ is elect. And we thank Thee that the promise is, him who comes will not be cast out. And we urge men and we plead with men to come, but we don't twist God's arm wanting Him to save people, wishing He would. He saves all whom He wills to save. And He'll save no more. You know, I get a little bit upset with preachers that think that God is not near as concerned about people being saved as they are. That amazes me. And you know, if I really believed that I could save people, I would never go to sleep. As a matter of fact, I'm wasting my time right now. What we all need to be doing is out here just knocking on doors and getting people on their knees and sticking a Bible under their nose and getting them to say a pretty little prayer and they'll all be saved. But the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. We're to herald of the gospel and preach the gospel and call men to repentance, but we can't save a single soul unless God is pleased to deal with their hearts. And so Christ is the King. Even over sinners' hearts. I remember when I came to the Lord, I was broken, and my will was crushed. And I was given a love for the Scripture. And I was given a love for God's people. And I was given a love for holiness. And I was given a love for the things that most people hate. And I attribute that to a work of grace in my heart. Can you say that? Thirdly, Paul tells us something else. He says he preaches himself as a slave. A bond slave of the master. And you know, this takes us back into the beautiful imagery of the Old Testament, where there were slaves in Israel. And they could willingly remain a slave, even after they were liberated in the year of Jubilee. And they had their ears bored with this awl, as you know. And they were marked. And they remained in their master's service. Why? Out of love for the master. This is one of the greatest tragedies of our day. We've got people in the churches who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're producing a bunch of preachers today that are trying to get people to be Christians who don't know Christ.
That's the problem with them. You know, and these are the people you have to preach to and just beat them over the head, take out the whip, and the pulpit becomes a whipping post. And you know, you scold people for not coming to a certain service, or you scold people for not being faithful. But the problem is, you need to look in your heart and see you don't have any grace there. If you've got grace in your heart, you're going to have grace in your life. And you don't have to pop up and beg God's people to do what's right. They're going to do it. I'm not saying they don't need preaching to. Don't misunderstand me. They do. I'm not saying they don't need teaching. They do. I'm saying it's not in what we say or do that makes people do things for God. It's love in their hearts. If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, you are anathema. You're under God's curse. I can't make you spiritual. Boy, you know, I used to try to make everybody spiritual. I used to knock on doors, travel across the country, and preach and sweat and scream and holler and rescue people from the burning. I thought if I could just do it with enough zeal and energy, I could make everybody spiritual. And I found out from the 16th chapter of John one day that the Holy Spirit makes people spiritual. If He doesn't work in a man or a woman's heart, no preacher can make a convert. It's not my business to make sheep. Jesus said, feed the sheep. Amen? He didn't tell Peter, manufacture sheep. He didn't tell him to make them. He said, feed them. You know, I can't preach to pews. I mean, I preach to sometimes more pews than I do people. But you know, them pews has not benefited one thing but what I say. Right? I can't preach to pews. I can only preach to the living. I'm not helping a person out here in the graveyard tonight. They're not listening. And I'm not helping anybody here spiritually unless you're quickened by the Holy Ghost. You're dead. You're just as dead as that pew. But if God ever quickens you, if God ever turns the light on in your darkened soul, you see the glory of Christ. I've got a few favorite songs, and you sang one of them tonight. I hardly ever sing that song without weeping. Majestic sweet. Sits enthroned. Where? Where does it sit enthroned? Upon the Savior's brow. Isn't that beautiful? Then I have another favorite hymn. It's one of John Newton's. I just want to read you a word or two from it. He said, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. What? What? Say that again. How sweet the name of Jesus. Wait a minute. That's not all, though. In a believer's ear. Now you're telling me something. Speak the name of Jesus out here on the street. It's a curse word. That's right, it's a curse word. Speak the name of Jesus over the radio airwaves. No. Just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. But speak the name of Jesus in a believer's ear. How sweet. It's sad. Can you say amen to that? Listen. It soothes what? The name of Jesus. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. I say hallelujah. I'm pretty Pentecostal. I say hallelujah. You know, that's not Pentecostal, but that's what some people call it. So if that's what you call it, that's what I am. So if I want to know one time what I was, I said, I'm a Baptist and a Methodist and a Pentecostal and a Jehovah's Witness, just all jumbled up together. Got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Hope you folks don't mind me saying that. Listen. Dear name. What name? What name? The rock on which I build. What? What rock? My shield and hiding place. My never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. Jesus, my shepherd, brother, friend, my prophet, priest, and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Ah, there's true Christianity. It's talking about the person and work of Christ. We're slaves to the Master. We're not popes and know-it-alls. We're not braggarts and bigots. We're just bond slaves of the Master. We've been made obedient slaves to King Jesus, just like before our conversion. We were bond slaves to this world. We've just exchanged masters. Where once we were free from righteousness, Paul said in the 6th chapter of Romans, now we are free from sin. And we are free to holiness. And we are free to life everlasting. Dear friends, if you can't say what John Newton said here, you are not a Christian. Weak. Weak is the effort of my heart. And cold my warmest thought. What? When I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Can you say that tonight? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. The question is, are you a believer? I didn't say were you a church pew warmer. Boy, we got lots of them. I didn't say were you religious. I said, are you a believer? And if you're a believer, you're a believer because God gave you faith to believe. It's because God has shined His light into your heart. Just like He said in the original creation, let there be light. And light was. So God shines His spiritual light in men's hearts, and there is light. You don't know exactly how that happens or even when it happens. You just know the effects of it. Can you say yes? Brother W.F., I preach not myself, but a Savior who is sovereign. And yes, Brother W.F., I preach not myself as a king, but as a servant to the king. Can you say, yes, I have a treasure. It's in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of man. Can you say that? How sweet is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to you.